the syncopation. Fantastic final encore from Patricia Kopaczynskaya and Polina Leshenko, bringing to a close today's Radio 3 lunchtime concert. Join us next week for a recital of songs by Schumann, Kitty Wakeley and Joseph Middleton. Now on to Broadcasting House.
That was last Monday's Radio 3 lunchtime concert from the Wigmore Hall, presented by Sarah Moore-Peach, and that recital she just mentioned by Kitty Wakeley and Joseph Middleton is tomorrow, just after the 1 o'clock news. Meanwhile, Sarah is back later this afternoon to present The Choir. It's an edition of the programme first broadcast in May last year, in which she's in conversation with the composer Jonathan Dove, and her featured choral classic is Britain's Rejoice in the Lamb. The Choir this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Original British drama on BBC Two.
Master Cromwell, your reputation is bad. You don't defend yourself.
Your Majesty can form your own opinions.
Based on the novels by Hilary Mantel.
Lady Anne is the key to winning back Henry.
The only way to please that lady is to crown her Queen of England.
Starring Mark Rylance and Damian Lewis.
Now is the time for you to become the king you should be.
I keep you because you are a serpent.
Wolf Hall, on Wednesday night at 9 on BBC Two and BBC Two HD.
Back here on BBC Radio 3, before The Choir at 4 o'clock, at 3 o'clock we've Choral Evensong, and that's another chance to hear last Wednesday's broadcast from Christchurch Cathedral, Oxford. That's in an hour from now. It's just gone 2 minutes past two here on BBC Radio 3 this Sunday afternoon. Time for the Early Music Show. And this week, the harpsichordist Sophie Yates is exploring the music of Jacques Dufli, who was born 300 years ago this month.
Thank you. That was Dufli's La Juinier, played by Catherine Lazarus. Jacques Dufli was one of the last harpsichord composers of the 18th century, whose life spanned the exact period between the death of Louis XIV and the beginning of the French Revolution. In fact, he died the very day after the storming of the Bastille, on July the 15th, 1789. Despite the growing availability and appeal of the pianoforte in the rest of Europe, the harpsichord had remained popular in France right up to the Revolution, when political ideas suddenly hastened its decline. It was considered an aristocratic instrument and associated with the regime the Revolution sought to overthrow. So it's especially poignant that Dufli, one of the harpsichord's last great champions, died just as his musical world was about to be destroyed. We now see his music, along with that of his contemporaries Balbatre and Armand-Louis Couperin, as the harpsichord's swan song. The piece we just heard is interesting for two reasons. First, its Rococo musical style. It combines Baroque taste with a new emphasis on melody, accompanied by a broken chord or Alberti bass. The second reason is its dedicatee, the Marchioness of Juigné. At the time of his death, Dufli was living in an apartment in the Hôtel de Juigné, so we can only wonder what story might lie behind the dedication of this piece to his landlord. The next piece has a more obvious dedication, though, a fellow musician, the bass viol player Antoine Fauqueré. That was Mitzi Meyerson playing Dufli's rondo La Forcere, exploiting the rich lower register of the harpsichord to mimic the bass viol of its dedicatee. Jacques Dufli was born in Rouen on the 12th of January 1715. But after his training and a short stint working as an organist in Normandy, he moved to Paris. The music critic Marpourg wrote, "He instructs the leading families. He plays the harpsichord only in order, as he says, not to spoil his hand with the organ." However, we know remarkably little about the details of Dufli's later life. He seems to have faded into obscurity so much that the year before his death, a notice appeared in the Journal Général de la France asking for information on his whereabouts. It's also mysterious that after his death there were very few possessions and no harpsichord to be found in his apartments. The best clue we have to this composer's story lies in the titles of his pieces, since so many of them are portraits dedicated to the people who played a part in his life. Like his forebear François Couperin, Dufli's works create something of a musical autobiography.
Thank you.
Medea Bindewald and Nicolette Moonen playing La Dutailly by Jacques Dufly, one of the small number of pieces he wrote for harpsichord with violin accompaniment. The accompanied keyboard sonata was a late 18th century idea in which a keyboard piece was decorated and enriched by adding an upper part for a flute or violin to play. This might seem odd to us nowadays, when the role of the keyboard in a duo is most likely to be as accompanist. But Rameau gave us some of the best examples of this kind of writing with his Pièce de Clavecin en Concert, and Dufly was a great admirer of Rameau's. So much so that he copied Rameau's rules on fingering, passed off as his own, to Rousseau for his Dictionnaire of 1768. Rameau and Dufly moved in the same musical circle based around the Paris salon of Monsieur Riche de la Pouplinière, an important patron of the arts. They sometimes dedicated pieces to the same people, such as Anne-Jeanne Boucan, wife of the composer Mondonville, who is named in both Rameau's Pièce de Clavecin and Dufly's first book of harpsichord pieces. La Dutailly was a famous singer at the Concert Spirituel, an important public concert series in the Tuileries Palace. It's likely that she too would have frequented Pouplinière's salon.
Thank you.
Duflis Les Grâces, played by Skip Sempe. This piece is the opposite of La Forcarée, which we heard earlier, in its daringly high tessitura and use of ornamentation, but still contains the seductive sequences that make Duflis's work so attractive. The composer Dacan described Duflis's playing as having much lightness of touch and a certain softness which, sustained by ornaments, marvellously render the character of his pieces. That's certainly what I always try to emulate when playing his work. Next comes a very gentle but somewhat unorthodox rendering of the Allemande that opened Duflis's first book of harpsichord pieces. Duo Orfeo have arranged it for electric guitars, which I think works extraordinarily well. The resonance of the two guitars combines to create a mesmeric effect which is strangely similar to that of the harpsichord.
Thank you.
Duo Orfeo, playing their arrangement of the Allemande from Dufli's first book of harpsichord pieces. Next, we have a piece dedicated to a barrister, Pierre Salomon Potoin, who died in 1756, the year Dufli's third book was published. The practice of writing commemorative pieces, or tombeaux, was well established by Dufli's time, and although it isn't stated, La Potoin, with its melancholy, sighing refrain and descending sequence, seems to fit this category perfectly. Here's my own recording of it, played on a copy of the Goujon harpsichord of 1749 by Andrew Garlick.
Thank you.
my recording of La Potoin by Jacques Dufly. To any musician in 18th century Paris, aristocratic or ideally royal patronage was hugely important. And it was because of this that Mademoiselle La Victoire, Louis XV's second daughter, found herself the dedicatee of so many musical works, including Mozart's first operas. Dufly's portrait of Mademoiselle La Victoire begins with fast arpeggios, followed by a trill which creates a thrilling drum roll effect, giving an impression of this princess's lively and vibrant personality. Byron Schenkman plays it on the Hempsch harpsichord of 1736, which is housed in the Boston Museum of Fine Arts. The full and resonant bass of this instrument, coupled with its brilliance in the treble, capture the mood perfectly.
Thank you.
That was Dufli's La Victoire, played by Byron Shankman. Going back to the mystery surrounding Dufli's death, we know that he left possessions to his manservant of 30 years. But as for his harpsichord, it might be significant that the retired Lieutenant General of the Police, Antoine de Sartine, lived at the same address in the Hôtel de Juigné. De Sartine was a great patron of music and the arts, to whom Dufli dedicated one of his last pieces. He also fled from Paris shortly after the storming of the Bastille and Dufli's death, as his life was in danger as a former member of the regime. Maybe he took the secret of Dufli's harpsichord with him. We end today's programme with another unexpected performance of one of Dufli's pièces de clavecin, this time on the piano. The French pianist Madeleine de Valmalette, born in 1899, often included French Baroque music in her recital programmes. And here, appropriately, is playing a piece dedicated to her 18th century namesake, a singer called Louise Charlotte Françoise de Valmalette, who was also part of the Pouplinière circle. I really like her interpretation, which is very sensitive and surprisingly stylistic for the times. Was La de Valmalette from Dufli's third book of harpsichord pieces, played by pianist Madeleine de Valmalette. Playing Baroque repertoire on the modern piano can be problematic because of the ornamentation and difference of timbre between the two instruments, and French pieces often suffer most from this. Sometimes they simply don't translate. but I think this piano recording and the guitar duo we heard earlier show how the generosity and charm of Dufli's musical personality can shine through, even in our modern sound world.
Today's Early Music Show was presented by Sophie Yates and produced in Salford by Les Pratt. You can download a podcast version of that programme and many more episodes of the Early Music Show via the BBC Radio 3 website. Now, a complete change of tone as we look ahead to this evening and the Sunday feature.
I was with Warhol for an hour and he said nothing.
Andy Warhol's New York factory was a magnet for artists.
Drew everyone to him, bang.
The Sunday feature presents Andy Warhol's factory friends.
Probably the vast majority were talent-free.
A creative hub.
It was called the factory for a reason. It wasn't called the party.
A social melting pot.
He was attracted to crazy people.
A workplace and a dive.
Primarily it was Andy's workplace.
I go to work and paint.
50 years since the factory opened, Paul Morley is on a quest to find out what happened to the extraordinary array of characters who lived, worked, and partied there.
Ties and jackets. People think that, you know, Andy and craziness. We dress like this.
Andy Warhol's factory friends.
Warhol's words, it was, I don't know.
This evening at 6:45, and for 30 days online, BBC Radio 3. On air, online, on when you want.
Oh, really? Oh.
Next this afternoon, in a couple of minutes' time, choral evensong. Before that, we've got time to hear Sophie Yates herself at the harpsichord. This is by Rameau, L'Égyptienne. Was L'Égyptienne by Rameau, played by Sophie Yates. This is BBC Radio 3. It's now just after 3 o'clock and time for Choral Evensong, a service which was broadcast last Wednesday from Christchurch Cathedral, Oxford. The canticles are sung to a setting in C-sharp minor by Haldane Campbell-Stewart, organist of Magdalen College, Oxford, just after the end of the First World War. The anthem is Reges Tarsis, a setting of words from Psalm 72 by John Shepherd. The kings of Tarshish and the islands shall bear gifts. The service opens now with a motet composed in 1569 by Palestrina, reflecting the Epiphany season. Stella quam viderant magi. The star which the wise men had seen in the east went before them until they came to the place where the child was.
Welcome to Christchurch for this service of Evensong. We're in the season of Epiphany, and both our introit and the anthem today celebrate the visit of the wise men to Bethlehem. Today we have two further things on our mind. We've just celebrated St. Hilary's Day, which is the signal every year for the streets and quadrangles of Oxford to become crowded again as our young people return for the beginning of the term that bears the saint's name. And thirdly, this is the 100th anniversary of the death of Richard Mew Benson, the remarkable man who founded the Cowley Fathers, the first male religious community in the Church of England. So we begin our worship by singing a hymn written by Father Benson, "Praise to God Who Reigns Above." Sings the psalms appointed for the 14th evening of the month, Psalms 73 and 74.